Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Pella Window and Door of Georgia, viewed to be the best.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So I was sitting around yesterday, and I was going to tweet something, like a joke about Florida. You know, I like to do that from time to time for those of you who follow me on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. I was going to take a little zinger towards the Gators, and I'm getting ready to hit send, and you just sort of got the impression that this wasn't the time to do that. This wasn't the mood that people were in right now. Obviously, so many people aware of what happened yesterday, the tragic passing of Kobe Bryant and one of his daughters on a helicopter that crashed, and it just kind of really just sucked the life out of the room of those of us who were sports fans and kind of congregate online or really anywhere you went yesterday. People were talking about this. And obviously, as we do this show today, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia, we're obviously aware of that. And it even touches UGA in some form or fashion. We'll get to later on in the program what Kirby Smart had to say about that. We'll let you hear from John Stinchcomb on this topic a little bit, too. So it's one of those things of this is the biggest story in the world, at least for today. And hard not to notice it. And yet at the same time, one of the things we take really seriously, because around here from time to time, there are going to be more serious things happen, you know, in other walks of life, other avenues. And, you know, we really are dedicated to being your escape from all of that, from, you know, what the world is talking about, the serious things that people are dealing with. We try to be something a little bit different, an opportunity for you to kind of gather around a topic that makes you feel better, makes you feel good. And so we are aware of the news that is so sad for so many sports fans, but also at the same time, aware of the job we do to distract you from some of that kind of stuff. So with that in mind, we'll have more on Kobe a little later on and his, connection to UGA here today. But I do want to start by talking a little bit more about what's going on at UGA right now, and there is no shortage of that kind of stuff. It became official over the course of the weekend that James Coley, the former Georgia offensive coordinator, is now indeed on his way to Texas A&M in a lesser capacity with the Aggies and his friend Jimbo Fisher. And, you know, I think it's really interesting how the Coley departure has been covered. And obviously the one thing, and you can even read this for yourself at DogNation.com, the one thing that everyone makes mention of with good reason is the fact that James Coley is a really good recruiter. And I think it is fair to ask, and I know Connor Riley wrote about this morning with his Good Day UGA piece, it is fair to ask, when you think about all the great success that Georgia has had from South Florida guys over the course of the Kirby Smart era, whether it be, you know, Tyson Campbell or, you know, Tiger Stevens, you can kind of think of the full list yourself in terms of, you know, these players from that kind of like 305 area, that sort of Miami area that James Coley was so good at recruiting. How will Georgia replicate that in the future? Will it be able to replicate that at all? Does that become a less of a part of the recruiting strategy going forward? I think those are all really fair questions to ask. And goodness knows that here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door, there's probably no one that obsesses over UGA recruiting more than we do on this show from time to time. And yet with that in mind, recruiting, I don't believe, should be top of mind and first and foremost when you think about the current state of what Georgia's dealing with. Because if you think about this in like really, really stark terms, here has what Georgia has tried to do over the last couple of years. It has tried to lead with recruiting as the solution to every problem. And the general overview of Smart's philosophy, the Smart doctrine, if you will, for those of you who follow foreign policy and things like that, you know, the Smart doctrine has been, if you recruit enough good players and if you stack enough good players behind them and if you keep that process going on and on and on and on, eventually every problem will take care of itself. And eventually you'll be able to fix whatever's broken. Just recruit, recruit, recruit. You've heard it said that to someone whose only tool is a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. There may be some version of that with Georgia. Kirby's tool, his hammer, so to speak, has been recruiting. And so for every problem that the program faces from time to time, you can recruit your way through it. You can recruit your way around it. You can, you know, collect enough talent, and that is going to make all this problem go away. But sometimes life is not quite that simple. And for Georgia, when it comes to the offensive side of the ball, I think you definitely see a scenario in which recruiting wasn't solving all the problems that Georgia had. You had James Coley, who was a terrific recruiter in place as offensive coordinator, but I think based on the results that you saw during the 2019 season, not a terrific architect of game plan, at least based on the evidence we have in front of us. not capable of maybe coercing Kirby Smart, or convincing, maybe a better word to use, not able to convince Kirby Smart to do things a different way. That James Coley was, based on the offense we saw this season, and we may never know the full share of blame that he deserves for all of this, but Georgia's offense this season didn't work. It was broken. And during the season, I think it was fine, and on the show, we certainly did our part to try to remain patient with that and acknowledge the fact that even with Georgia kind of producing meager offensive results, program is still winning games, still making itself a national championship contender. But at the end of the season, its inability to keep pace with the best offenses of college football was an Achilles heel, and it was a problem that had to be fixed. Kirby Smart, to his credit, went in aggressive fashion towards trying to fix that. He brings in a guy like Todd Monken, who I think by virtue of resume and reputation is an upgrade over James Coley on the field. And for now, on the field is what matters more. Because I think what you may see from Georgia moving forward, if the offense works the way that it's supposed to, is all of a sudden, by creating an offense that's exciting, by doing some things, even if it's not quite to the same level that LSU has done them this past season, by doing things in a more similar vein to the way that LSU has done them, all of a sudden recruiting may get just a little bit easier, whether you're talking about South Florida or South Atlanta or South Georgia. It may just get a little easier to recruit when all of a sudden you have a program that looks like the place to be. And in 2020, the way to create a program that looks like the place to be is by creating one that's more exciting on offense. And if James Coley was capable of doing that, he probably would have already done it. Now, listen, I'm not, you know, eager to push him out the door. I never really was. I'm not eager to kind of trample over his tenure here at UGA and say good riddance to bad rubbish. I'm not doing that. But I'm also not going to shed any. I'm speaking of this as a Georgia fan. I'm also not going to shed a ton of tears, but the fact that Kirby Smart made a tough decision. This is a decision that I think has a chance to make Georgia better. I think that Smart ought to be celebrated for his just guts and bravery in terms of risking what has been good for Georgia in pursuit of what might become great. And in all of that, it looks like James Coley became expendable. I think that's a reasonable decision to make given the results on the field for 2019, given what Georgia still wants to pursue in 2020. I think that is a very easy decision to make. Now, let me kind of transition and say something else here for a moment. There was another staff decision over the course of the weekend that I think maybe, even though the name itself is not quite as famous, I do think in terms of how we speak about Georgia football, I think it may be just as important. Marshall Malko is also leaving UGA. We've been kind of like the director, is the director of player personnel, is the official title, director of player personnel. This is the kind of person at Georgia that just sort of makes sure the trains run on time, that the recruiting operation works the way that it's supposed to. This is one of those guys that's really, really important to the process, but not always super identifiable. In other words, if you scroll the pages of DogNation.com over the last couple of years, his photo's not going to show up as the featured image for a ton of stories, but a lot of the players who end up being all over Dog Nation and the YouTube page and everything else, their presence at UGA has been greatly impacted by a guy like Malko. He is also leaving Georgia. He's also not going to be a part of this process anymore. And the question kind of comes up of, well, with him gone and Coley also gone as well, how does this impact the recruiting machine that's been in place for Georgia? Is recruiting now going to suffer because of the fact that these two key cogs aren't a part of this anymore? Sam Pittman's also left there as well. And I think it's a really fair question to ask. And obviously, when you're a program that's had as much recruiting success that Georgia's had, there are going to be guys other than Kirby Smart who have had a big hand in all of that. Malko has certainly kind of been one of those guys. However, moving forward, I think there is one word for Georgia that's going to be more important than all of it. And I think that Malko's departure, Coley's departure, Pittman's departure is an example of this. The word that's going to matter for Georgia moving forward more than anything else is system. Being systemic with the way that you recruit, more so than relying on superstar recruiters. Georgia's had no shortage of those. Guys like Del McGee and guys like Sam Pittman and guys like James Coley and kind of behind the scenes, a guy like Marshall Malko. And, you know, you can think of a lot of guys that Georgia's had who've really contributed a lot to the recruiting efforts. But over the course of time, it's hard for anybody to keep those. Think about how often Alabama sort of cycled through assistant coaches that you know, off-field staffers that you don't know quite as well. Over the course of a long period of time in place at Alabama, you just move through these guys over and over and over again. But ultimately, the success really hasn't slowed down because the system matters more than the people. You see this in business all the time as well. If a fast food chain like McDonald's required a master burger chef, a grill master at every location in order to serve hamburgers, then the growth of the institution would be limited because there's just not that many master grill masters out there to cook hamburgers. What you need is a system, a easily repeatable, easily transferable process for how this stuff comes together, and ultimately that's what leads to success. For Georgia recruiting, it's the same way. If Georgia is dependent on a Malco being in place, or a Coley being in place, or a Pittman being in place, or a Dan Lanning being in place, or anybody, if it's that dependent on any one name, maybe even Kirby Smart included, then the success that Georgia enjoyed is just too fragile. Now, ultimately, I don't believe that Georgia is fragile there in that regard. Ultimately, I believe that Georgia under Kirby Smart is putting together a system that's capable of outlasting any individual person. So when guys who've had recruiting success leave UGA, it's fair to ask how will they be replaced. But it's also important to know for a program like Georgia that thinks of itself as a national championship contender, the system is what ultimately does the replacing, and stepping someone in to maintain the system that was already in place, ultimately, I think that becomes the most important thing. So all fair questions to ask in a time in which Georgia is making kind of a transition when it comes to some personnel guys. But ultimately, if Georgia really is a national championship contender, then the recruiting system will be more important than the coaches and personnel people who are actually doing the recruiting. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us. No matter how you get to us today, we're presented, by the way, by Pella Window and Door on video at 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. A little late today, but nonetheless, good to be with you. A radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and as a podcast, wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Just really glad to have you with us, and we really appreciate our friends at Pella Window and Door of Georgia making it all possible. You know, Pella is a national company, which means you get all the power and the prestige that comes from that, but they are also locally owned with a branch right here at Georgia, so you get that sort of family back service. It's really the best of both worlds when it comes to our friends at Pella Window and Door, and they've also got a great deal for you right now that I do not want you to miss out on. You can currently get up to 50% off qualifying installations or 0% APR for 48 months. That offer is valid through March 12th, so go ahead and act on that right now. Pella also offers the best lifetime warranty, top of the line equipment, and unparalleled expertise. So a couple of ways for you to get in touch. It's PellaBranch.com. That's the email address, PellaBranch.com. Or you can give them a call in the Dunwoody showroom at 404-445-2979. Let me say that for you again, 404-445-2979. Pella Window and Door, Georgia, is viewed to be the best. All right, it's a busy show for us here today. Before I get John Stinchcomb, and I've actually already recorded that today, a little bit different for us. John had some really, really good stuff to say. We do touch on the tragic story of Kobe Bryant a little bit with John. He's certainly of an age where Bryant was a huge figure, I'm sure, in his life as he was coming up, much the same way for me. So John will share some thoughts on that. Also, we'll kind of get into the Coley situation, moving on from him at Georgia. And John has some pretty provocative things to say about that as well. One of the big topics, too, that we're going to cover is the recruiting weekend that Georgia just enjoyed. Offensive lineman kind of at the center of all of that. Broderick Jones, Cedric Von Prawn. Now, we know it must have gone pretty well because to kind of jump to the last page of the book here for a moment, right before we came on the air this morning, Broderick Jones had a little bit of a tweet to kind of thank Georgia for a good time. Can we show our video audience that? He says, thanks for a great weekend. He says, hashtag still committed. Of course, he's got a visit coming up to Auburn to kind of close out the recruiting process. But certainly Broderick Jones had a good time on his UGA visit. We have a little bit of visual evidence that this went well for he and Cedric Von Prawn both. Tate Ratledge's dad showed a picture of Tate, both these guys together, with Matt Luke, the new offensive line coach at Georgia. Not quite so new anymore. Mr. Ratledge says, hope this crew ends up at Georgia there together. And it's kind of nice to all see them posing, having a good time. Ratledge had said that he wanted to be on hand for his visit when they're both coming in because he wanted to kind of help roll out the red carpet for them. And, you know, as a way of kind of sort of encapsulating what this weekend was about for Georgia and why the fact that it seems to have gone well, all visits typically do, but the best we can tell, this one went well too. Why that's good news for Georgia. I thought that Jeff Sintel said something really interesting in the forum. Now, I hope you're following along with all of Jeff's stuff at forum.dognation.com. But Jeff gave a pretty bold statement about where Cedric Von Prahn, or Cedric Von Prahn Granger, I guess Jeff calls him, and Broderick Jones, where they kind of rank in, I guess, the recent recruiting success for Kirby Smart when it comes to offensive linemen. So after a big weekend with these guys, here's what Jeff said about this. It's down at the bottom of the screen for those of you watching on video. Broderick Jones and Cedric Von Prahn Granger will belong on the list of the top five incoming offensive line signees of the Kirby Smart era at UGA. Jeff Sintel says they are that good. They will be that good, just wired right beyond all the physical attributes. So what Jeff's saying there, they got the build to be great offensive linemen, but also that mental makeup to be tremendous competitors as well. So the fact that you see a nice photo of them all cheesing with Matt Luke, the fact that Broderick Jones tweeting nice things, these are more than just stories to talk about here during the month of January. These are pivotal members of the next generation of great Georgia offensive line. And as Jeff Sintel, who watches these guys really closely, says, they belong right there at the top of the list of any lineman that Smart may have brought in. So closing the books on this, getting these guys signed come February, that is definitely going to be a very, very big deal. It's great to have you here today as a part of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia. We will cover more of the busy recruiting weekend around the SEC here coming up. Before that, let's talk more about Von Prahn. Let's talk more about Broderick Jones and a number of other subjects with our buddy John Stinchcomb. Great to have you with us as a part of the program here today.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insight.
Always a real pleasure to have John Stinchcomb on the program. A lot I want to talk to John about, especially just given the fact that this weekend was such a big recruiting weekend for Georgia, centering around the offensive line. There's a lot for us to say with John Stinchcomb about that coming up. But John, let me begin this way, if you don't mind. You and I you're a little younger than me, but we are of similar eras at least. And I think that you would join me in saying that Kobe Bryant is a gigantic, larger-than-life figure for people who are about our age, people who remember him coming out of high school into the NBA in 1996 and pretty quickly becoming not just a sports player, but really kind of a worldwide phenomenon, a cultural icon. I'm sure you were shaken yesterday by Kobe's passing. Any thoughts from you on kind of just what you've learned and dealt with over the course of the last 24 hours as an athlete? I'm sure he was an inspiration to you like he was to so many people. How did the news yesterday kind of strike you?
Well, you think it'll ever happen to those that are larger than life, and Kobe definitely falls into that category. And everyone always says you can't take life for granted, and you know the next moment's not promised, but it's hard to live that way. And when you hear of someone of Kobe's stature, just in such a tragic way, passing away, it just all brings it back to reality. And God, we're all human, and you just never know. And for someone who, you know, had it all, so to speak, at least by the world's standards, to see him, he's with his daughter, and half the time you see him now, he's either giving back or he's with his family, and he was so engaged in that front. I think it was such a great message, just his life and the way he was conducting it now to so many, that it's truly tragic.
Before we talk more about Georgia football, if you don't mind, let me ask you a personal question about all of this. You know, as I said before, you're an athlete, and you kind of know the story of when you're young and you're single and you're either playing at Georgia. I don't know if you were married when you first started playing with the Saints or not, but you're kind of doing it for yourself, and that competitive fire really burns deep within you the way that it kind of does for a guy like Kobe. And as you transition post-career life, suddenly it's about more than just you. It is about, you know, your children and your wife, and seemingly Kobe made a pretty elegant transition to that part of his life. As you said before, TV has shown him, you know, seemingly really connected with his daughters and seemingly really in a nice place in terms of, you know, valuing family life. What was that process like for you when you kind of go from being a guy fighting on a football field to now being, you know, a dad and a husband and just, you know, kind of making peace with that part of your life as opposed to kind of the way that you may have defined yourself in a younger time?
Well, I think it's the natural evolution for players, especially those that are fortunate enough to have extended careers. It starts off selfish, and I don't say that in a derogatory way, but we have ambitions, and you've set goals for yourself, and a lot of those you realize once you're in professional ranks of a game that you've enjoyed playing since you were a kid. But as your family grows, and that's kind of the way it happens for most of us, you get married, you have kids, the perspective changes a little bit. And then you talk about legacy and what you want to build and leave for your kids, and the fact that now that name on the back of your jersey represents much more than just yourself. You know, it always had with your family name, but now you've got an immediate family, and it means so much more. You start thinking about their future and trying to provide a platform for them to leap forward even from where you were. So, Callie, it means the world. And, you know, they say that flippantly, but yeah. There's a lot of truth to that, where your perspective really does change or evolve just because of life.
No easy way to transition to that topic to the regular topic that we normally discuss, but obviously people do enjoy connecting with our program as a distraction sometimes from the more serious, heavy things going on in the world. With that in mind, John, Georgia hosted a major recruiting weekend this weekend, and offensive linemen were really at the center of this. Cedric Von Prahn and Broderick Jones, crucial pieces of UGA's remaining 2020 class. Commits not yet signed. They can't do that until February. All indications are that the visit weekend for both these guys and the others who were on campus went really well. I guess let me try to sort of frame this way. As an offensive lineman yourself, if you put yourself in the position of Jones coming on campus for his official visit, he's been to UGA before, but this is the official visit. Von Prahn on campus for the official visit. If you had to like put yourself in their mindset of what it is they want to see, you know, transition to Matt Luke now as offensive line coach, what are the kinds of questions they're asking? What are the kinds of things they're wanting to see for Georgia, who admittedly wants to make a good impression? What are you trying to show off here? If you could kind of take us inside the walls of a meeting space like this, how would you envision it went on this weekend with Von Prahn and Jones?
Well, I think they're looking for confirmation that it's the right fit with the guys, that it's the right culture that they want to be a part of for the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years of their life. And that's more confirmation. At this point in the game, they should know that aspect. But what I see for them as a question that needs to be answered is Matt Luke. I mean, they were recruited by Coach Pittman, and he's no longer in Athens. So the question that they need answered, and at least confirmed with what they probably suspect, is what their roles will be, what that relationship with him looks like. They're going to want to talk to the guys that, you know, it may have been brief, but for the past, you know, 4, 6, 8 weeks that they've spent with Coach Luke, what's their initial take? So I think that they're gleaning a lot of information from the players that practiced with him in preparation for the Sugar Bowl, and making sure that the University of Georgia is the right place for them. And a part of that is you're going to spend so much time with your position coach, making sure that's a good fit as well.
Along those lines, for the fans, it seems like also a fun opportunity for validation here, because much the same way Jones and Von Prahn are looking to see how they would fit into a Matt Luke offense, and will he be the kind of person who can tutor them and get them ready, you would think, for the next level of play. For UGA fan, they've also kind of gotten used to seeing Sam Pittman close in these spots, you know, reconfirm UGA is the place to be for offensive linemen in the past. Now it's Matt Luke who has a chance to do that, and much the same way we'd have used to see, you know, Pittman arm-in-arm with a lot of these guys photographed after visits. It's Luke in that spot now. John, isn't it also true that for fans, they get a chance to maybe feel a little bit better about Matt Luke after a weekend like this? If Jones inks up with Georgia come February, if Von Prahn does the same thing, then it certainly gives you the impression that Luke can be the same kind of closer in big spots that Sam Pittman proved to be for a great number of years for UGA.
Well, I think it is. I think it's a great hire. I think it'll speak to Luke's ability to be the recruiter that Coach Pittman had gained such notoriety for. You've got two guys that are nationally recognized offensive linemen. One is in your backyard. One is in the backyard of the national champion. And if you can close, man, that speaks volumes to the future recruiting classes. You can lean heavily on the rest of the program. University of Georgia is still providing at least a team that's in the conversation each year right now for the college football playoffs. And that's where your high caliber five-star, four-star players want to be. They want to be on that big stage. So for Matt Luke, yes, in recruiting terms, especially just perception for fans, those are two big names where February rolls around and you say you can breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief that the recruiting that Coach Pittman has done so well isn't going to just totally fall off. I think that's why the hire of Matt Luke, when we first saw it, it was so encouraging that, there's very few guys across this country, coaches, that can recruit like Coach Pittman can.
Yeah.
And the swift response from Kirby and his staff to find somebody of Coach Luke's caliber to step into those shoes, I think was a much-needed, appreciated, and welcomed response.
Let me finish up on this topic. It looks like this week, or over the course of the last few weeks, maybe better said, Georgia has decided to view what James Coley is really good at, recruiting and developing relationships. Georgia's decided to view that as expendable because it had the opportunity to go out and get someone who I guess the program believes, Kirby Smart believes, is going to be better when it comes to an offensive game plan and scheming up ball play, so to speak. Todd Monken comes in, James Coley's going to get a demotion, and now Coley's on his way to Texas A&M, and with him, maybe some of UGA's recruiting prowess going to College Station there as well. John, what do you make of this transition? How do you view it?
Well, I think you have to play the balance game. Coach Coley, like you said, he was known and still is for his ability to get the right guys on campus. And sadly wasn't able in this first go-around this year to match his ability as a recruiter with a play caller. And if you've got the right guys, if you've got the right ingredients and you're a chef and you don't know how to put them together, it's not going to make the best dish. Now, if you've got a guy that can, craft the finest of meals, but he doesn't have the right ingredients, that's going to be a problem too. So it's always a balance of, can we get the right Jimmys and Joes in the locker room with the guy that can put them in situations for them to excel. And, it's only a one-year gauge that we're running this on, but I think we all can agree that this offense was underperforming all year long with the amount of talent that Georgia had offensively specifically. It didn't match their production. And, that's a problem. It's a real problem. So I appreciate the fact that Coach Smart was willing to address it. And, anytime you make a decision of that magnitude, there's going to be some cons that come with it. It's never going to be all plus side. And part of that is Coach Coley is a phenomenal recruiter and has moved on to another school and other opportunities for him. So you just have to weigh the risk and reward of any of those decisions. And I think it's a step in the right direction, personally, because I think Georgia will continue to recruit on the national scale. It hurts to lose a great recruiter like Coley, but that doesn't mean the expectation for bringing in top national caliber players changes any for Georgia.
I'm going to give you kind of a corny analogy here for a moment. You remember the movie Field of Dreams where they say, if you build it, he will come. And it seems like for Georgia, sometimes the recruiting philosophy in place the last couple of years in offense is, if they come, you can build it. Kind of the opposite of that of, you know, if you get all the recruits here, all the players here, then you can build any kind of offense that you want. But John, I think objectively what we've seen the last couple of years is that's not necessarily the case, that it does have to be more along the lines of you build it and then they come. You create a successful offensive system. You make a offensive game plan that works with the players that you have. And then after that, you can pretty much handpick any player you want after that. That I think that Georgia has made the decision to go more in the direction of on-field coaching here for a moment, as opposed to off-field recruiting. And as much as I spend my life obsessing over recruiting, in this particular case, facing this particular set of circumstances, that certainly has the look of the right decision for me right now.
Well, that's, you know, players are very much aware. I think you read the comments of Eric Gilbert and what he said as to why he chose to go elsewhere and not come to the University of Georgia, and the opportunity that might come for tight ends following Darnell Washington is they pay attention to what's going on and what might be to come. So, you know, I think one, winning is your best recruiter, and then utilization of different positions. Guys know the roles that they want to play or think they might be able to fill, and want to go to a program that fits them accordingly.
John, we really appreciate your insight on really a wide-ranging number of topics today. Thanks so much for your time being here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door. We hope you have a great week. We'll look forward to getting a chance to speak to you soon.
Always a pleasure, BA. Go Dogs.
Yes.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
You know, I think we're really lucky because we get a chance to talk to John, and, you know, John is just really plugged in, both in terms of his emotional connection to UGA remains really, really high and strong, and just his thought process. You know, he was a thoughtful player himself, and so I think he has interesting thoughts about how current players or future players, in this case, we talk recruiting. I think that he just has a good wavelength about all of that, which I think is a really valuable process. And to hear him, I think, say in no uncertain terms that the change over to a new offensive mindset, if it meant losing James Coley, certainly sounds like, from what John said there, that was a trade that he would be willing to make, which I think echoes the thoughts that I expressed off the top of the program here today too. So Georgia fans will have their chance to weigh in on that, both on video in our comment section. You can reach out to me on Twitter at Dog Nation Daily. But certainly, if this is the process that all goes through and it leads to this, Monken in place, James Coley now somewhere else, I think I'm sort of okay with that because of how needed this was for UGA. And I guess to spend a minute here on how that now 10th assistant coaching spot will be filled, I certainly hope that it's Buster Faulkner. Even though you have a chance to potentially bring in another person here, I think that to emphatically answer what Georgia needs, which is an upgrade in offensive game plan, upgrade and I think in some cases maybe even quarterback technique during practice, a guy like Faulkner making him an even bigger part of the program, probably coming with a raise even in addition to the $150,000 salary that's already been announced for him, that's the way that I would handle that moving forward. So we'll see what Georgia does, but if it was me, I would waste no time in saying, Buster Faulkner, you're more than just an analyst on this program. You are going to be one of our assistant coaches, and you, working with Todd Monken, will have the task of upgrading this Georgia offense. I'd waste no time doing that. But with that said, let's go cruise around the SEC for a moment here, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. So many great ships in the fleet at Royal Caribbean. Let me tell you about one right now. How about Oasis of the Seas, the most awarded ship at sea, and it recently underwent the biggest Royal Caribbean amplification ever. So many new things added to this ship, and so many things that you're going to want to see, whether it be Ultimate Abyss, the tallest slide at sea, Playmaker Sports Bar and Arcade. We love the idea of there being a sports bar right there on the ship at sea. Really, really fun. Also great kind of like nightclub bar type things like Music Hall or the Lime and Coconut, which is like three stories of island vibes with live music and everything else. There's Bionic Bar, which is like a robotic arm. All kinds of really fun stuff. Totally amplified, reimagined is the Oasis of the Seas. You're going to want to check this out for yourself. Here's how you can do that. Get in touch with your own travel advisor, or let me recommend my friends at the Cruise and Vacation Authority. You can call them at 800-326-4971. That's 800-326-4971. Just do me a favor. Let them know you heard about them on Dog Nation Daily, and I can promise you they're a good friend of ours. That means they'll take really good care of you. All right, so three quick recruiting stories I want to get to here for a moment. I saw where Avante Williams said that he's now no longer going to take a visit to UGA. I feel like I sort of told y'all this, that when – go back to the Under Armour All-America game, and Williams is like the four-star defensive back, longtime Oregon commit, maybe a Florida lean. We'll find out for sure on that, I guess, in the future. But at the Under Armour All-American game, there's like this weird story that came out of the Orlando Sentinel where like Williams told some folks, and Connor was there. I mean, I think most of the people in Orlando are probably pretty surprised at this. He's like, I may go to Georgia. I think most of the people were there are like, really? I don't know about that. So he said on Twitter this week that he's not going to take a UGA visit. This does not come as a huge surprise to me. There's a part of me that wonders if this whole thing wasn't kind of a setup the entire time. But nonetheless, you can, I guess, scratch Williams off your list. It seems like Georgia's kind of already moved on with other defensive backs anyway. So there will be no Avante Williams there. Zach Evans, according to 24/7 Sports, maybe other outlets as well, I just happened to read this from 24/7 Sports, did take his Tennessee official visit this weekend. So kind of a late entry to the party on Evans. Your guess is as good as mine about what any of this means. But here late in the process, Evans is still kind of out there doing his thing. Is it thought that Georgia's somehow still in this mix? I reckon so in some form or fashion. Obviously, Georgia also hosted another running back of its own, Dejon Edwards, this weekend. One of the things that Jeff has told us when we've talked about this on Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger and some of our other platforms, is that maybe quietly, you know, Del McGee maybe had a little bit of a stronger relationship with Dejon Edwards than you might think. Jeff, I think, said that, on Before the Hedges even this past week, to be honest, and to be frank. So, you know, you have that situation with Edwards on campus, but those Evans rumors kind of still floating out there, some way or another. We'll see what Evans does for the final weekend coming up. But on Tennessee this past weekend, and then I guess here kind of officially kind of close this out, someone who made an appearance in our top 2021 targets on Before the Hedges presented by Kroger, a Corey Foreman, pretty good pass rusher, like a lot of these good pass rushers have in recent years, has made his pledge to Clemson. So he'll follow in the footsteps there. So that wasn't necessarily thought to be one of, you know, a strong Georgia lean anyway, but Foreman for the class of 2021 has pledged Clemson. So keep that in mind, and we'll kind of wrap up with that as part of a cruise around the SEC, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. And to kind of go back here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door, to the topic that I mentioned off the top of the program, this is one of those days where it's just sort of hard to talk about sports, which is obviously the job that we do here, without acknowledging what has been the biggest story in sports over the course of the last 24 hours. And, you know, I'm not as big an NBA fan as I used to be, but back during the Kobe Bryant era, I was a huge NBA fan. So the news touches me, and it's been really sad. But I guess what's more on my mind than the sadness right now is just the poignant way in which this has just sort of moved through in the entire world, sports world beyond Grammys last night, kind of all about this. It's amazing to see how many people have had such a strong reaction to this news, someone that almost none of us have met in person, and yet someone that so many of us felt like we're connected to. Even Georgia coach Kirby Smart kind of took a moment to weigh in on the passing of Kobe Bryant, the tragic way in which this goes down. What Smart tweets out is, prayers go out to the Bryant family and all those affected by today's tragedy. Kirby says he's one of the greatest competitors ever. Kobe is leaving quite a legacy, both on and off the court. And then he gives you a reminder of his two numbers that he wore during his career, number 8 and number 24. And I think for coaches like Smart, I know that Kobe had spent some time with Nick Saban, too, in a video that you may have seen passed around the internet a little bit as of late. I do think that there is this real attraction to the way that Bryant played the game, that Mamba mentality. And you know, Bryant was this tenacious competitor. I heard it said, and who knows if this is really true. Sometimes these legends grow over time. But Jerry West, who himself was a great player, the logo, also Lakers GM at the time in which Bryant was drafted by the Hornets and then traded to L.A., supposedly it was said that West gave Kobe Bryant the highest draft grade that he'd ever given anyone. Not just any 18-year-old kid coming out of high school, but really any player of all time. And you got to think that competitive fire, something that West may have noticed even back during high school, because at that time, not only was it a little bit of a weird thing to take guys straight out of high school, it was certainly unheard of to take a guard in that situation. Garnett, as more of a big man, had been a draft pick the year before. But Bryant as a guard to go in that spot was really weird. But West saw that competitive fire. Apparently Kirby Smart and other coaches kind of also noticed that too. And yet, in the aftermath of what goes down, it's really something else that you notice. And I thought that John Stinchcomb was so good on this topic a moment ago, that over the course of Bryant and his post-career life, suddenly seem to be just inflamed by the idea of being a great dad and super connected to his kids. And you see so much example of that. And, you know, for someone like me, you know, I'll never be able to emulate being Mamba. I'll never be the Black Mamba. I'll never be, you know, that kind of competitor. I'll never be able to achieve what Bryant was able to achieve in athletic endeavors. But we can all be, and those of us who get a chance to be dads right now, husbands, we can all kind of live that part of our lives out, much the same way that Bryant seemed to be really enjoying doing that at the end of his career. So much of the stuff that I hear about Bryant reminds me of some of the same things we've heard about Tiger Woods in recent years, that, and Bill Plaschke's column, the LA Times, kind of touched on this, that the, you know, Bryant seemed to fall in love with the idea of being connected with people more so than being this great, fearless competitor. And I think that Tiger Woods kind of become kind of the same kind of thing of, ultimately, it's our connections with people that sort of matter more than anything else. And I know I'm probably being kind of a blowhard about this, but I think that's sort of the way in which this kind of touches all of us, is that Bryant seemed to be really engaging in that really well. And that fact alone, I think, kind of towers over all of this. Just a really tragic loss in the world of sports. And so wanted to at least kind of close out by a couple thoughts on that, and certainly prayers to his family, to say the least. So with that said, we'll once again kind of clumsily transition back to our normal topic and say thank you so much for being with us as a part of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door of Georgia Today. And I guess one more quick thought, and kind of on all the other stuff that has kind of gone down over the last 24 hours, or I should say over the course of the last weekend. It isn't amazing at Georgia what a busy January this has kind of turned out to be. You know, sometimes you think of January as the start of the off season around Georgia from time to time. It seems like there really is no off season. It's just, as famously was once said, football and getting ready for football is the only two seasons on the calendar. And Georgia's transitioned from one quarterback to another, transitioned from one offensive coordinator to another, and seemingly now ready to usher in kind of a new era. And I can't wait to see how it all plays out. I think that Kirby Smart ought to be congratulated for how aggressive he's gone after all of it. And by the way, speaking of those lousy, stinking Gators, we love the Gator Hater Updater. We'll remind you, it's been a long time, 1,185 days since Florida's beaten Georgia. We'll see you tomorrow, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Pella Window and Door.